we are marking the holy month of Ramadan. We're going to be discussing ideas for Sahur and Iftar today with special guests. She's big, she's bold, and she's ever so tasty, as well as healthy. She is Chef Omnia, bringing her Omnia brand of cafes, Chef Sylvaina Rowe. Hello, Sylvaina.
Hello.
Hello, good to see you.
Very good to be here.
And also joining you alongside founder of Moti Roti, delivering Pakistani soul food, wholesome handmade rotis, those delicate aromatic spices, all ripped from the pages of Mum's recipe book. He is Tahir Shah. Hello.
Shah by name, Shah by nature. Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Excellent, right. Excellent. So tell me, for Ramadan, how are things shaping up for you, Sylvaina, with your restaurants?
Most of the restaurants are closed because, you know, we don't do shisha. We don't do particular events in the evening, late evenings. So we find that people much prefer our healthy way of eating during the day in a non-Ramadan situation.
Open? What is open?
Omnia Baharat is open at Mall of Emirates, or Omnia Indian Kitchen as we know it now, where we do delicious Indian iftar because people seem to love it. And, you know, when you go to an iftar buffet, most of the food is Indian anyway. So we do it in a kind of nice, clean, healthy way, but still very delicious. And again, very reasonable prices as per Omnia.
Lovely.
So we're there.
So we're going to be finding out what your selection is for Sahur and Iftar later on. And for you, Tahir, is it business as usual at Moti Roti?
Business as usual until 9 p.m. because, you know, a lot of people are going out for Sahur or not ordering in. So, yeah, we get still a lot of people ordering at lunch. We have to remember there's still a big expat community who are not fasting, so they want to eat, and all the places are closed, or half the places are closed. So yeah,
the deliveries are doing well for that.
Are doing all right, yeah.
And you've got your new facility now in JLT.
In JLT, yeah.
Which cluster is it?
That's Cluster J, next to Bonington. It's a tiny little thing, but you know, it's a quirky, cheerful little place.
Good.
There's a nice hand-drawn uncle and auntie on the wall, if anyone wants to check that out.
And who drew those?
It's the guys who did our graphic design. Really cool guys.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, it's great to have you both here today. We're going to be sharing your ideas, as I said, for Sahur and Iftar. Let's get into our news stories and see what's happening in the world of food.
Food news.
So we've been checking out the news wires, and Sylvaina, we'll start with your story today. So what have you selected?
Well, I read something which was a bit bizarre, and I don't know how it's going to work, but it's very close to my heart because this is how I eat and this is what I do. It's in UK, a cafe place which actually serves you food as per your DNA. So it's a cafe strong clinic or what? They test you, first of all, your DNA. They decide what foods are good for you and what not, and then they prepare your meal. So I find it a bit bizarre and a bit strange. It's just a novelty thing. You know, it's
a novelty. Is there any truth to it?
I don't believe there is, because I believe that there are certain foods that agree more than don't agree with you, and you should know what they are, because really your body will tell you. Your body is the best thing to tell you, not some DNA test, etc., etc. But there is all these DNA tests that are terribly expensive, saliva, blood, etc.
So this is different to going like for an allergy test, or what, the foods that were intolerant and intolerance.
Yes,
test.
Yes. I mean, if you take a proper DNA test, it's quite complicated because it refers to genetics. But this cafe, I don't think it does that, because this genetic, epigenetic kind of classed tests are very complicated, very expensive. And they are to do with people who completely have a serious problem with perhaps the genes of their ancestors. However, this is actually just a gimmick, you know. So they say, oh, you shouldn't eat gluten. Oh, you shouldn't eat avocado. Oh, you shouldn't have mushrooms. So it sounds to me very much like an allergy test anyway.
But really what they're doing it for, this says here, if you look at millennials, many of them, wellness and health is top or core of their decision making. So they're making it easy for people by personalizing the food. So like when you go to the supermarket, by taste. So now it's based on taste and science. So creating menus based on your DNA, what would suit you, what you would enjoy the taste of.
But you see, this is interesting because the latest trend now in Hollywood is that all these super duper top class celebrities are having private chefs. Now this is new. It wasn't like that before. Before you might have had some very, very VIP person, but now everybody who is some sort of, like even a radio host, that I read about a very famous radio host who had this chef in tow with him all the time doing snacks, even in the break giving him nuts, giving him dry fruit, etc., for various reasons. So that's what these people are doing. They know you, they know your body, they know your structure, and they give you exactly as per what you require.
Wow, yeah, and you think it's a gimmick? Would you go for it? How about Moti Roti doing
it's
something
not clear.
Like that?
The article is in the Telegraph, does not specify how it works.
But it caught your eye. So yes. would you do this? What about this then?
I create the dish
according to somebody's DNA. So we are all different, each and every one of us, individuals. According to this, what it's saying is that you can actually have a food profile, if you like, made for you on what your palate, your taste, your body's type, what your body can tolerate and what your body actually enjoys.
Are you asking me as a restaurant or a customer? Cause
both.
Okay. I mean, if I walk into a place as DNA Cafe, I'm like, if I see a guy walking around from behind the bar with a white coat and a stethoscope, I'm like, I don't know if I want to be eating here or drinking here.
Do you think it's not needed? It's not. We know what we like. We don't need to be told what we like. What would really be the benefit?
You know, I'll tell you something. This is a conversation I had a lot with Paul Ferenghi, the guy behind Happy. It's a subject close to his heart, and it's the sheer amount of information and misinformation about food and nutrition out there, about real nutritionists and pseudo nutritionists and pseudoscientists. It's so hard for like someone like me who's not a complete expert to understand, well, what is, like, now an article about this has come out backed by this, but it's if I had to summarize everything, I remember reading an article recently saying, if you want to know real fake news, just look at the food and beverage industry, because there's just so much misinformation.
Okay, right, this is getting confusing now. This isn't necessarily fake news. It's coming out of the UK's Telegraph. I get what you mean, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of fads. There's a lot of things that are used for marketing purposes.
It.
So if we break the story
it's
down.
It's moving in the right direction. I like it, and I'm not cynical about it, because I eat for myself. You see, I want to reverse my age, and I have reversed my age process. I have really done things to myself that for my age are impossible even to comprehend, and this is only with food, and I don't mind shouting about it. So if this coffee place have these intentions for people, voila, that's amazing. Let it go ahead.
And what you're also saying there to hear is that, are we moving so far away from what is natural that we already know in our bodies? If we are listening to our bodies and we're eating naturally, so, you know, foods that, you know, of the caveman age of what we were designed to eat,
exactly,
not processed foods, then actually, do we need all of this? Because we should just know in ourselves what works for us and what's good for us.
No, the point was that there's just so much information. There's so much. It's hard to distill. It's hard to sort truth from fiction. But if we all know the basics, right, about refined sugars, about fatty foods, about good carbohydrates, bad carbohydrates, a lot of us know basics, a lot of us know how to stick to basics, but beyond that, everything is up for comment.
You're absolutely right, and certainly through the show and the health show that we do, there is so much information out there, and figuring out what is real and what is relevant.
Guess the ingredient.
Yes, and joining me today, we have Chef Sylvain Rowe of Omnia brand of restaurants and cafes, and Tahir Shah, founder of Moti Roti. And we've got our first clue to our mystery ingredient to go into the draw today to win meal for four at Omnia Indian Kitchen at Mall of the Emirates.
Yep. So, the first clue today is today's mystery ingredient are healthy nuts, which were taken by the Romans as campaign food when they raided Britain over 200 years ago. Ancient Romans and Greek believed today's mystery ingredient contained aphrodisiac properties and preserved them in honey. The Greeks in particular felt today's mystery ingredient was sacred to the god Neptune and mentioned the ingredient in the Greek writings as early as 300 BC.
Natalie's messaged in to say, I would love suggestions for children 6 and 12 for iftar. So she's looking for places to go, but also what would be a recommended plate? So what would you put on the plate, Sylvain?
Now, with children, they're little fast pots as we know it. You know, I had my own, so rice is a good thing, you know, but I wouldn't eat white rice, you know. So what I will do probably, I will begin with winning children, like, by mixing it with a bit of brown rice, a bit of black rice, a bit of red rice in there. Mix some little vegetables. For example, we make this amazing cauliflower rice, which is tiny. And if you mix that with the rice, children would not even know it's in there. And then, of course, chicken. With the chicken, what I will do is very simple preparation, roast chicken with a rub of za'atar or a little bit of shawarma spice, just to give it a bit of flavor. It's very mild, it's very gentle, it's very unobtrusive for the child's palate. And then even necessary, shred it on the top, and beautiful yogurt and mint sauce. And for me, this is the most ideal, amazing meal. And of course, a soup. A lentil soup, a beautiful yogurt and cucumber soup, for example, if they're into that kind of thing, or even a simple soup. A soup is very important because it fills them up, it gives them something very nutritional. And if you do hummus, I would suggest that with the hummus is try and go for roots. Make hummus made of, for example, carrots and parsnips, and it's just really, really quite delicious.
It's funny you mentioned lentil soup there. We were looking at the dishes that people love during iftar, and we were taking a look at the origins of lentil soups, originating in the Middle East, used as a main ingredient for many Levantine dishes. The ancient Greeks enjoyed this soup as well. You who dare insult lentil soup, sweetest of delicacies, according to Harris refrains from the Greek mythology. Starting with soup as at iftar will replenish the fluids lost in your body while fasting during the day. It also prepared your digestive system for the rest of the meal. Tahir, what would you recommend? What do the children like at Moti Roti?
The kids, well, it's hard to say. I dare say we'd get that many families come in. But the paratas and the lassis, I mean, it's quite comforting. It's quite Moorish. You know,
and
it's
talk
fried.
Us through the parata then.
Parata is it's a roti, but like a naughtier version. It's a fried whole wheat bread stuffed, like the aloo paratha is stuffed with potato.
Did you say fried?
Yeah.
For a child?
Yeah, but it's...
it tastes good, huh?
That's the thing, the kids crave it, that's what they're ordering, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, you've got choices, haven't you? And that's what they're going for, and good for you. And what else did you say there?
Lassi. That's a yogurt-based drink. So it's very simple. It's a summer drink from the Punjab, so it's yogurt... iced water or ice cube, and if it's plain, you just add a little bit of salt or cumin or mango, you add mango pulp, and that's it.
Fantastic. Yeah. What's your news story today, Tahir?
Bugs.
That's it.
Yeah. So anyone fasting, this will help you. All right. So this is, apparently we're all going to start eating bugs, that's what they're saying, in perhaps the next generation. At least they're looking at insects like crickets as an alternative source of food, not only as for a nutrition source, but to help the environment if you cut down on farming of cattle and things like that and rear insects. Apparently this is going to help us a lot.
And this is actually quite serious, isn't it?
It's very serious.
I remember looking at this story. Yeah, it actually is possibly going to be the solution in the future for the drain on the planet when it comes to the production of meat, etc.
I mean, in addition to that story, I was listening to a podcast about startups, and one startup is it's a company doing cricket chips. And so they grind cricket into some kind of a flour and they make chips out of it. What they're saying is obviously it's very, very hard to make people try it, but they allude to sushi 20 years ago or 30 years ago, whenever, that people were repulsed or they balked at the idea of eating raw fish and seaweed. They were like, there's no way, I'm not going to eat a non-cooked fish. And apparently the origins of a California roll and things like that has happened because Japanese chefs thought, well, let me hide the seaweed and let me roll it inside out with the rice on the outside, and it became palatable and it slowly got accepted, and perhaps that's the way to go with bugs. I have no idea.
What do you think about that, Sylvain?
I mean to be honest with you, this kind of news story comes every now and again, every couple of years we hear about it, and there are countries now where you eat crickets, you eat insects, like Thailand, like Indonesia, you know, you see them in the marketplaces. I personally, I agree with you here very much. That they will probably start by making them more palatable and making them kind of invisible. They're there, but they're not there. I understand they're a very good source of protein, but so many other things, you know. So I don't know. We need to be pretty dire to resolve to that, especially with children. Come on. I mean, children love animals, and little crickets jumping around is like eating a rabbit type of thing. So
this was
the interesting thing. In the study, they're saying that the people interested to try are the kids, because they're open to experiences. They don't have the hang-ups that we have by adulthood. So
there you go. That could be the dish of choice for the future, then, the next generation. Lots of lovely messages sharing your dishes for iftar. We're going to be sharing those throughout the hour and bringing you more news as well, looking at the Ramadan fridges that are being erected here during the holy month. This is part of community schemes within the community, also with Dubai Municipality. Also coming out of Sharjah with regards to Ramadan fridges is an app to help people know where where and when they can access food via the Ramadan fridges for those less fortunate. So we'll be bringing you more on that and more clues to our mystery ingredients. Let's share the next one with you.
Guess the ingredient.
So it's over to you, Tahir, for clue number two to our mystery ingredient.
Okay, yeah, right. Clue number two. The trees that produce today's mystery ingredient should be ideally elevated between 1,800 to 2,600 meters. Everyone getting that? To provide the conditions for optimal nourishment for the cones where the kernels of today's mystery ingredient grow. Today's mystery ingredient is difficult to harvest, which is one of the reasons why the oil of today's mystery ingredient can sell for over $50 for an 8.5 ounce bottle.
Sharing their recipes for Sahur and Iftar is celebrity chef for the Omnia brand of cafes and restaurants. She is Chef Sylvana Rowe, alongside Tahir Shah, founder of Moti Roti. And yeah, we're going to be hearing what your dishes are that you will be serving at Iftar, your ideal Iftar dish and Sahur dish, as well as yours. So many of you texting in what your favourite dishes are. Let's share some of them with everyone else. One here from Sophia, she's saying the lugamat and rose milk falooda makes a great combo for Iftar.
Yeah, lugamat, it's something very special. It's actually one of the most famous elements of Ramadan here, but not only for Ramadan. Local Emirati love it, and it varies from household to household, and literally every household will tell you they make the best lugamat. It needs to be beautifully, deliciously crispy and crunchy on the outside.
What is it?
It's actually, they are dough balls that are fried and then dipped into date syrup with some sesame on the top. But you know, there's an art to doing fried food, as Tahir will probably agree with me. Fried food needs to be nice and crunchy, and we can't resist fried food, you know? So those are fried, and they're deliciously marshmallowy on the inside, crunchy and beautifully succulent on the outside. Then they're dipped in this absolutely gorgeous date syrup, which of course is so much better than sugar, and a sprinkle of sesame seed. And they have to be served hot. Otherwise, they're no good. Forget it. And they are really such a little excitement for your palate. Really great. When they're good.
Yeah. And what's your version?
It's difficult. You can't do them gluten-free. You can't do them sugar-free. So you may as well go for the real thing and do them properly. I'm not the best at lugamat, but I've been to a certain royal palace here where one chef does it, and it's the best apparently in the Emirate. And his lugamat is just phenomenal. And apparently he's been doing it for generations and generations. And everybody goes there, and he's normally served at Suhoor.
I was at Iftar the other evening, and one of the things on the menu that I really enjoyed, that was at the one and only, was the pakoras. But your pakoras, tell me about your pakoras.
Pakoras are a beautiful thing. I could talk for the rest of the show about that.
So the rest of your life.
Yeah. So just like Sylvina says, perfectly she said it, about fried food, you have to do it right. And I think you can... When teaching our chefs, it's a very fine thing, especially with sending it for delivery. They have to be crispy, golden, Moorish. So just to explain, pakora is, there's many ways to do it, but a proper Pakistani pakora that you would have an iftar in a family is a mix of thinly sliced potato and onion together, battered in a chickpea-based flour, and some certain herbs and spices. Everyone varies. We put cumin seeds, coriander seeds, chili. And then you fry it so that it's crispy, and then the potato and onion is nice and soft on the inside. And yeah, it's like you eat one and then you keep going, you know, until the end.
Well, a man's texting to say they're his favourite dish at Iftar. Lots of others here as well. The soups we mentioned, the lentil, Nazir saying haris is my favourite, especially during Ramadan.
Now, haris is my favourite. There is nothing like haris. I can eat haris every day. Every day for me can be Ramadan. But again, haris can be done beautifully and very badly. Now, when it's done badly, let me give you one word: superglue. Imagine superglue, that's what your haris will be. The most important thing when you make haris, basically haris is actually haris itself, which is oats, and I do it with oats, which is my gluten-free version, but you actually do it with wheat. Wheat and haris is the same thing in Emirati kind of kitchen. and veal. Now, some make it with chicken, where it becomes more asadia. Some make it with lamb. The color is wrong. Beef is wrong. Mm. It has to be veal. It has to be so beautifully, innocently white. And you put a thin layer of butter on the top. I make my one with foie gras because I really want to overindulge in it. So I put about 70% of veal, 30% of haris. Normally, when you're more economical, you do it the other way around. But the best ratio, I think, is about 50-50. And then I do a foie gras foam and actually sauté foie gras to top it up. Now, this is my version and it's very decadent and it's very amazing because veal and foie gras go very well together. But haris, it's always a yes for me.
You know, you can find haris right back in the 10th century in cookbooks from the 10th century. Yeah, so it's been around a long time in people's cultures.
But you see, we have the same in gruel, you know, in British kitchen, you know. We have all these porridges that are made, and if people are well off, they will add meat to that. It's just that with haris, there's a particular art of cooking it. And when I visit my Emirati friends, their local chefs, they're like the chefs that are actually in their households, are having saucepans the size of mini football pitch where they're preparing massive pieces of cuts of veal with tons and tons of the haris. And it's cooked all day long for the evening. So it is brilliant.
Somebody else is saying here, Zaid is saying kofta and tomato sauce. Well, stay tuned, Zaid, for the second hour when you hear me behind the scenes with Spinnies at their meat production facility in DIP and preparing specially for Ramadan their meat dishes. And we talk about the kofta and how that's prepared there. Yep, so keep your messages coming in. 4001, your preferred dish for iftar. And let's find out about yours. So Tahir, for you, let's start with Sahur. What would be your recommendation for Sahur?
For Sahur, I think it really varies person to person. For me, it has to be very simple, not heavy. I know a lot of people eat fried stuff or even biryani, I heard, during Sahur. I think it's over the top. You're going to be fasting for the rest of the day. So simple stuff, dates, fruits, something like a porridge or some oatmeal-based dish. Because immediately you will be going to sleep shortly after that, and you want to rest peacefully without your stomach making noises, and then go through the rest of the day, you know, with some form of energy.
But just explain then. I mean, I know it's personal and everyone's different, but Sahur, you would be, because we think of Sahur in the late night, the early morning,
or
before daybreaks.
Yeah. Okay. So there's even for me, Sahur was a different experience in Dubai than in the UK with the family. In a traditional family, you all wake up like 3 a.m. or whatever, and you have something light. Because you know that's your last meal, and you know, until iftar. But here there is a culture of it. It's the first time I experienced it in Dubai, where there's tents and you go shisha, you play games, you slowly snack throughout the night into the early morning. So that was a new experience for me here in Dubai when I first moved here.
Interesting. Yeah. And of course, when you were living and growing up in the UK, longer hours of fasting.
Yeah, I mean, imagine how much it must be now. I think they all want to come to Dubai. They're asking me.
Wintertime would be fine.
It could be Scandinavia, which is important.
Scandinavia,
true. So, Sylvana, what would be your dish for Sahur?
Okay, I fast, and basically I avoid Sahur because I actually like to prolong my fasting. I like my autophagy to kick in, etc. This is to do with intermittent fasting. But nevertheless, I do fast. Now, well, last night I happened to have Sahur, and I had it about 3 o'clock. So I had my beautiful organic kale salad with vegan dressing and a vegan raw parmesan, which is super light, super delicious, no fat, no gluten, no dairy. And I actually had some sashimi as well, and I made myself a sushi out of quinoa. Now, this is a little bit tricky, but what I would suggest for Sahur, it's a very light hummus made from vegetables, for example, with crudités instead of bread. But most people take bread, they eat actually fried things. It's full of fried things. All tents here are full because it's easy. Yeah, buy them frozen, they put them in the deep fryer, and then boom, and you eat, you graze, and you're not doing yourself any favor because it bots you down.
Exactly.
And also remember, most people have stuffed themselves from shifter anyway. So they're not really hungry. They're just like that. So, and then I have my chia as well. So I try to have a lot of superfood intake because I want this energy. Because, you see, once I wake up in the morning, I'm at the gym. I don't do the gym on a breakfast. You know, I like it in the morning. This is my mentality. So I want to have energy for the gym. So therefore, I indulge into the superfoods. I'm very careful. I eat very lightly. But what I would suggest to people, have perhaps yogurt, laban. I tend to have kefir in the morning. If I wake up about, say, 3:30 before Fajr, before prayer, I take a glass of kefir and I have water or coconut water and a couple of dates and halas, I'm done.
Wonderful. And with the restaurant in Mall of the Emirates, with the Indian Kitchen, Omnia's Indian Kitchen, you have from 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. Yeah. We have to note that the malls are open later
during
Ramadan.
Exactly, they are. And we've been amazed how many people actually crave Indian iftar. See, this year, it's very tricky with the mall. We cannot do a buffet, and I'm not a buffet person. But we do an amazing array of beautiful Indian street kitchen inspired. Everything is made by hand, you know. And everything is super tasty and delicious. And we had nothing but massive comments. So people just come, and I get constantly on Instagram, oh, I enjoyed your iftar. So the price point is phenomenal. You know, why pay X amount where you know that you're paying this money, so you have to stuff yourself with the food, you know? So also we have the healthier options. We have the salads and, of course, my desserts. You know, I think dessert is very important because they're sugar-free, gluten-free, non-fried, dairy-free. So you can really indulge into something without feeling heavy and guilty.
And the mall's open till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, that's right. And for the last 2 weeks, until 3.
Right, until 3 o'clock the last 2 weeks. There you go. Your edamame bean hummus?
Now edamame hummus, it's something that I love. I love the color of it. I love the vibrancy of it. So, of course, the base is still Moroccan organic chickpea. And I will say very boldly here, and I would love anybody to challenge me, that my hummus is the best in town. Not because of me. I have this one chef that only does hummus for me. He comes, does the hummus and go home. And all my other chefs say, what, did you really just do that? Yes, he did, because he does the most phenomenal hummus. So we do this hummus, and we make this organic edamame bean as well. We mix it together with some za'atar, and becomes phenomenal experience. It's light, it's fluffy, it's coral green, it's natural, it's just delicious, and it's organic, of course.
We're going to be hearing more from Tahir and Sylvana when it comes to their dishes for iftar, as well as sharing more of yours, many of them coming in. And it's time for another clue.
Guess the ingredient.
So clue number 3 to our mystery ingredient to go into the draw to win a meal for four at Omnia Indian Kitchen at Mall of the Emirates.
Today's mystery ingredient, the salt with and without their outer shells. The shell protects the kernel and the taste, but is soft, but is often salt without for ease of consumption. Today's mystery ingredient is the main ingredient in pesto todas, as well as the main ingredient in my recipe for the raw vegan parmesan as served at Omnia Indian Kitchen at Mall of Emirates.
Just to note that 80 Ramadan fridges in Dubai mosques. So this Ramadan, residents in Dubai will be able to donate food to the needy through these Ramadan fridges from the UAE Food Bank. The municipality has started distributing these fridges across mosques in Dubai. So that's one way to help the needy, the people less fortunate than ourselves. There's also the community group that started last year. A fridge feeds at least 100 people a day. Currently, there are 70 fridges. That's 7,000 people a day in theory. Your guide to Ramadan sharing. This is in What's On magazine. And one of the Dubai community's most wonderful initiatives is back for this Ramadan. So check out online where those fridges are in our communities, like the Springs, the Meadows, places like that, and do your bit on Facebook as well. They've got a Facebook page. Even in Sharjah, not only even in Sharjah, but what I mean is even an app is being produced this Ramadan when it comes to fridges. This is coming out of Sharjah and the university there, the American University of Sharjah, launching a free mobile app that can be used to overcome the issue commonly faced by those operating or thinking of setting up a shared food fridge in their neighbourhoods. So if it's something you're thinking of doing, check that out online. There's an app there to help you. Let's share our next clue to our mystery ingredient.
Guess the ingredient.
And this is to go into the draw to win a meal for four at Omnia's Indian Kitchen in Mall of the Emirates, being brought to us by Sylvana Rowe. Over to you, to hear.
Yeah, okay, clue number four. Eating today's mystery ingredient has been reported to give the very odd taste reaction known as pine mouth. The symptom, I didn't know that was a... Okay, the symptom described is the development of a strong, bitter or metallic taste sensation some hours or days after consuming the mystery ingredient and can last for as long as 2 weeks. The Belgian Poison Control Center have identified the specific variety of today's mystery ingredient as Armand or Saint David's as the culprit. Oh, David, you naughty boy. What?
I'm so glad that he had to read that because I'd have cracked up reading it.
Oh, dear me. Yes, there you go. Our next clue to our mystery ingredient. Sylvana, what would be your recommendation for iftar? A dish?
Well, I would probably, if one dish I have, I would really be probably having, I would like to go for fish or chicken. Now, fish is not very common, so let's go for chicken because I will not eat meat because it's heavy. I wouldn't know where it comes, especially on these big buffets, you know, it's all in bulk. But then again, that's just me, cynical me. I would probably go for chicken. And I will have it roasted, you know, in a very much Emirati style and way. Normally, I will probably use a bezar spice. This is B-E-Z-A-R. It's like 7 to 9 spices mixed together. We at Omnium, we make a phenomenal blend. Again, most households here have their incredible secrets in preparing. It's a bit like a 7-spice Chinese spice, etc. So you rub it really well. It's like a roast chicken, and it's really beautiful, and it's totally and utterly localized, so it's very iftari type of thing, Ramadani. With the rice, now I will make a pilaf. I will go for a Turkish pilaf because, you see, I'm half Turkish. I love my pilaf. It's filled with the most beautiful jewels of dry fruits. I have some delicious vermicelli in there. I would often put chickpeas and beautiful pine nuts on the top as well, because I happen to love pine nuts, and none of this about pine mouth have never happened to me. I love pine nuts. You know, it's a very expensive nut. It's actually the queen of nuts, let's be honest. Very few people can afford it, like what we said about the oil. So I will have this jewels of a pilaf, and I will always have something with yogurt because I love yogurt. I make my own yogurt, and beautiful yogurt sauce with either za'atar or something delicious, mint, for example. So it's going to be that, you know.
Sounds wonderful. It really does. And that might be something you're preparing tonight. You're fasting, so that might be what you're preparing.
Well, tonight actually I'm preparing that, but I'm doing it with forbidden rice because I love black rice. Now, I'm not recommending people to go for that. It's very expensive. But I actually happen to love black rice, black wild rice, red rice. I tend to avoid white rice because it just doesn't agree with me, and I just don't love it. I also remember on the previous show we talked about rice production. That's another thing. So yes, I'm doing that. And with the fish, with the chicken, what I'm doing tonight, actually I'm cooking my chicken in naj. I'm making a herb naj, which is like a bouillon almost, but it's very buttery. Butter I have no problem with, good butter or a good ghee, and with lots of herbs. And actually, I have a very high quality French organic chicken that I very briefly cook almost sous vide, and then I flake it and I put the spices on the top, and it's just divine, and it's light, and it's calorie free, and it's filling, and it's nourishing, and it's energizing, and it's revitalizing. That's what you want from iftar meal.
Over to you, Tahir. What would be your recommendation?
When am I coming over, Sylvia? Okay, so we're doing an iftar package on our menu. And it's very, very traditional, old school. You have on there something called fruit chaat. This is like a kind of masala-fied or spiced up fruit cocktail. It's just grapes, pomegranate seeds, apples, sliced bananas, pieces of oranges. You mix it with a little bit of our what you call chaat masala. It's a nice refresher and energy booster once you break your fast. And then pakora, of course pakora as a starter. They have to be, you know, done, you know, really, really nicely. So they act as like a bite, something like an entree. And then as the main meal, similar to what Sylvana said, we do a traditional home-style chicken pilau. People must differ between a biryani and a pilau. Biryani is quite heavier, a bit spicier, a bit more oily. Pilau is quite more raw, stripped down. It's a rice-based meal with whole pieces of chicken inside, and we cook it with whole spices, so whole cardamom, whole cinnamon, cumin seeds, cardamom, coriander seeds. You let that natural spice infuse and cook, slow cook in the dish. And it's very wholesome, hearty and comforting.
Well, there's some great ideas inspiring you for iftar. Mm. And so many of you have texted in today with your favourites as well. We're going to give our winner today, the person who's getting the four invitations to the Dubai Eye Iftar, taking place on the 15th of June at the Meridian Dubai Hotel and Conference Centre. That's where you join us, the Dubai Eye presenters and the team, the people behind the scenes, for a wonderful iftar. This is with thanks to Global Village, who are wishing you a Ramadan Kareem. Spend time with your family and loved ones this Ramadan and make each iftar special. So, Lujan, you were hoping to be lucky. You are lucky today. And you text in, you're getting those four invitations to join us, but you text in Lam Manat?
Mansaf.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Now, Lam Mansaf, it's actually a very typical Jordanian dish, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's fragrant, it's perfumey, it's delicious, it's succulent. The lamb, it's cooked very slowly, and it's cooked with the rice. Usually it's kept whole. And I can't make it, and not many can. You need to be really a master. It's like a sushi master. Only a sushi master can make you sushi. A mansaf master can make you mansaf. Many people try, and then it turns into a biryani type of thing, you know, and quite heavy. And it's also with yogurt sauce, and it has nuts, it has pine nuts, it has fruits, it has delicious. I make my one because I do the one, which is very good. I kind of slightly Ottomanize it, because let's be honest, Jordanian cuisine is very, very Ottomanized, you know, just like Syrian, etc. So my roots are very much Ottoman Turkish cuisine. So I make my one with beautiful lamb that I cook very slowly. It's actually a very old recipe, but then you cook it with the rice, and this you make with white rice. You cannot make it with red blood. So, you know, amazing.
Sounds amazing. Thank you very much for sharing your insights, inspiring us for Iftar and Suhoor today. And people that have been texting in asking where to go, well, you can get deliveries from Moti Roti. You can go and check out Indian Kitchen, Omnia's Indian Kitchen and Mall of the Emirates by Sylvana Rowe. We've also got a little list here for you as well. There's the Giant Tent at Atlantis The Palm. There's also the Buffet Alternative at Al Sakhal Avenue. Hashtag This Is Not a Buffet. Check that out. Also at Al Sakhal Avenue is Happy. I was in there the other day. They're open till the early hours of the morning. You also got a desert safari, Platinum Heritage 1950s desert iftar. So check that out. Wonderful idea as well. Meeting points at Oasis Mall and Dubai Outlet Mall. So there's a few ideas for you as well. But for now, big thank you to Chef Sylvana Rowe. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to Tahir Shah of Moti Roti.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.